Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Welcome to episode 3 of our Target bonus, what do we call it? Target partnership with bonus episodes of The Friend Zone. This is the third one, which is super cool. By now, you've hopefully listened to our Afropunk Reimagined, and hopefully you've listened to our college episode. And then today, what are we talking about, guys?
Relocation.
Moving.
We throwing somebody out.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. Putting somebody out.
Putting somebody out or Maya moving on.
Right.
Okay.
Today we are going to share all of our experiences, tips, and memorable and mostly forgettable moments of relocating from one city to another, because now the three of us officially have experience in doing so. The guys did it much younger than I did. But now I'm over here moving cross country, damn near in my 40s. Mm-hmm. And obviously we have a lot to say about those experiences. And hopefully those of you that are looking to move or just moved or entertaining the idea of leaving to a new city will get...
Or need to move.
Okay, we'll get some inspiration from today's episode. So where do we start, y'all? Because there is so much to say about moving.
First of all, nobody tells you that you need to take on a thorough cleaning of your home before you even think about packing.
Listen okay? to me.
You have got to literally clean house. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a term that people use as a pretty broad stroke for an action, but you got to do that when it's time to move.
Yes.
Because what you don't want to do is be slowed down during the packing process, going through stuff that you could have already had separated, thrown out, given away, whatever your choices are. So let's start there. Clean your house up, okay?
That's
get
so
in that
real.
Bathroom. Throw them old bottles of body cream and old, you know, look, throw all
me.
That away. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, not a pumice stone left unturned.
No, that's real, because even after moving, the last thing you want is to be unpacking and end up seeing a bunch of shit that you're like, why did I even bring this? I didn't need this
why?
In this new house or this new city. And I know a lot of us get attached to things, especially things like sneakers or clothing or something someone gave us, or just we can be like mini hoarders sometimes, just holding on to nostalgia and memory. So I get that it's hard.
Child, hoarding is the word, because like you said, I was like 21 when I moved to New York, and I definitely brought like tons of like cheap Forever 21 clothing that I was like, this is, you know, you could let this go, bro. You finna just go ahead and get some more of this, especially like looking back on how I was like, oh, you know, this is the shirt that I wore. It was really because it was like Atlanta memories tied to the clothes.
Right.
And then as I was seeing how they weren't really fitting into my New York life, I was having to like open my eyes and change perspective. So that was one thing about relocating that was like really sticking out to me, how people saw you in the city. Because no one really saw you. Like in Atlanta, everybody is kind of like, you know, always looking, you know, either to affirm or be nosy or whatever. And then in New York, everyone has tunnel vision. Everyone's on the go. Everyone's moving. That was like the big part of me wanting to move here. I was like, wow, with all this hustle and bustle, no one really cares about what you got going on. So you can really just focus on yourself. Great. Sign me up. And so I've been signed up.
I love that advice, though, because it's funny enough, I did, like Dustin mentioned, the purging, gave away a ton of clothes, really tried my best to not be attached to anything. And even still, when I got here and was unpacking, I still saw so much stuff that I was like, Fran, you legit could have left this shit. And it's not like these new cities don't have a lot of this shit. Like, why did I pack hella shampoos and conditioners and lotions? Like,
listen, you want to be stocked up.
You know,
I got a box, a shoe box full of old concert tickets.
That's so
party
real.
Flyers.
The little wrist things.
Wristbands.
Yes, I have wristbands. All
that. Now, do I need a wristband from the Essence Fest? 2004.
This is so real.
I don't believe I do, but I have it. Okay.
Or like from all our gigs, the cards, the VIP lanyards.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I have a very similar box full of like Comic-Con passes.
Yes.
Like all sorts. I'm looking at some of this stuff right now. Even stuff that's been sent to us, like letters, drawings. Like I have.
Why
like
can't we let that go?
Even when I try, I can't let go. Okay.
Y'all know I moved a lot in these past like couple years alone. So I've been carrying around some things. Now, thank God I've been able to let go of some things, but there's just some things I just look at and I don't know. It brings back a feeling and has to count for something, right?
It's true. And then the sneakers, like I was trying to part ways and then I was like, well, but I might wear these to this someday and I might need this for this. And it's like, girl, if you haven't put them on yet, you ain't going to wear them anytime
soon. Yeah, but giving
soon.
Away your sneakers is really self-deprecating. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is really, you know. It's just cruel to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm with the shoes on this one, friend.
Oh, no. So bad. Okay, so here's a question I have for y'all. When y'all decided to move and you had all this stuff to bring with you to your new city, how did you get it there?
I had an SUV. When I moved from Michigan to New York, I had an SUV, a large SUV at the time. And so I loaded up everything and I let every seat down except for the driver's seat.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
And everything
I hitched my wagon.
Everything fit. Shit.
Everything fit. I wasn't moving like any furniture items. You know what I'm saying?
Big,
so I just had
bulky.
Just stuff. Mm. I had stuff. So I packed that truck up and I hit it on the highway. And that was a really cool experience because I didn't put any pressure on myself to like make it in a certain amount of time. I just was like, you know, however long this drive takes me, it's how long it's going to take me.
I love that.
Pulled over, stopped, ate. Sight saw, you know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's so cool.
That's what I did, yeah.
How long did it take you in total?
It took me overnight. It was really only like an 11-hour drive, but I stopped in the middle of the trip and got a room, you know, and slept.
Of course.
Really didn't sleep good because I was worried about somebody stealing. I said, if somebody steal my car, they're going to take everything I got. Okay? So I was really sleeping with one eye open and looking out the window, you know, in the parking lot and things like that. But yeah, I drove. I went overnight. And had good company on the phone, talked to lots of friends on the way, blasted music. You know, it was dope.
That sounds nice. Dope. And it sounds like a nice period, too, to kind of reflect, like, you know, leaving the old, driving into the new. And just, I'm sure your mind was racing with excitement of, like, what the fuck? Or what am I doing?
You're right, it was. I was trying to get out of Pennsylvania. You know, have you ever driven east to west through the state of Pennsylvania?
I don't think so.
Let me tell you, it's like driving through a shoebox, honey. There's two towns that you run through, okay? And that's it. And through the middle, it's nothing but wide open
and
spaces.
Corn.
Very thought-provoking, like you said. You know what I'm saying? But I was ready to get out of that box.
I feel
okay?
you. What about you, Asante? What did you do? How did you get all your stuff from Atlanta to New York?
Okay, well, quickly, because we're talking about stuff, an earlier point that I was thinking about, I know we're talking about relocating in general, but I think of relocating, but when I was younger and moving, and this is why I just justify, not that I'm on trial here for these things, but this is why I justify taking some of my stuff sometimes. But when I was younger, we had to like move at one point. There were certain like memories that were like lost. And for whatever reason, like that thread has like stuck with me. And this is something that I've thought about like a lot because, well, a lot in passing. Because, you know, every now and then, you know, hotel programming will be airing A&E's hoarders. And you just wondering, how do these people accumulate so much and like why and what?
Easy.
And then I was realizing I ain't really like in this league or nothing. But, you know, I just need to be conscious of like what I'm keeping and how long and why. But I always think about being younger and having to lose those things. So when I hold on to the things that I do get to, I'm just like so grateful and thankful and like green with it.
Yeah.
But, when it comes to when I first moved, do you remember AirTran?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Airline. Mm-hmm.
They used to do this standby ticket fare and it was like 70, 80 bucks. And first of all, I used to do it when I was younger than that, like 18, 19. And they were doing those tickets for like $30, $40. So I was like, oh, shoot, whoa. I'm about to do one of these. So then when I got to the airport, you know, I'm 21. They're like, oh, okay, well, you know, this is going to be an $80 ticket. And I'm like, dang, $80? I thought it was like less than that. And then the lady, she was like, I see you flown with us before. I'm going to hook you up and give it to you for that price. It wow. hooked me up. So I was already like, oh, great. Like, I'm getting some luck already. So when I move to New York, it's going to be on. Like, something is going to be on and popping. But I just know that it was something that I had to do because Atlanta was, I always think about Atlanta being what it is and how great it is. But New York just always stuck out to me from the few times I visited in high school. And I remember thinking to myself, if you're going to move here, you need to do it now because you're younger. And because you're young, you can fail and go back home. Like, you know, even though parents say, your ass can't come back here. Excuse me. I think to myself, I'm still going to come back. Like, you know, if everything like,
first
comes
of all, who are you talking to? This okay. your house, but it's my house because it's your house. So right, I'm
like
here
like,
when
for,
I want
like, first
to.
Of all, you brought me here, so if push comes to shove,
then now don't remember tapping your belly saying, "Hey, wanna occupy this?"
So that was always a thought in my head, even though the driving force was always to never go back. Not because I was told, like, well, I kind of was to a certain degree, you know. So you, once you go, stay gone. But not in the sense of I don't want you here. It was more in the sense of, you know,
like,
stay
do
independent.
Well. Yeah,
and so
do well.
Exactly, and so mm-hmm. that's one thing that I always appreciated in New York. You know how they say if you can make it, you can make it anywhere. That's like a real thing. Like every day, there has been there has been something. New York has taught me a lesson on how to get through that something.
I hope that AirTran, employee is doing well.
I know, right? Whenever you meet little angels oh, like that yes. on your path. Wait, so you
absolutely.
Didn't, so then you didn't drive anything? You just flew and left it with?
I had like
with?
I had like two bags that I flew up, and then
that's all you could have on AirTran.
Right? That's something like, how did you do that on a flight? That's wild.
And then like I was mailed some stuff periodically from my mother, and then every now and then, when I would get the chance to visit, I would take like an empty suitcase and bring some stuff back. But
okay,
then by the
so
time
you did
I'm
it
like,
bit by bit, then just kind of yeah, but like,
micro move, micro dose.
Listen, I came up here renting a room, so I really had to. Honestly, like I actually had to. Thank God, my mom, she had space for me because she could have just been like, "All right, well, we getting like you know you moved out, so I'm getting rid of your whole thing." But there was space for me to keep some of my stuff because when I would go home and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to bring that, I would be looking at it like, I don't think you're coming to New York either. Like, I don't think you belong. You can be the home shrine, the family home shrine.
That's so interesting. So I wanted to take all of my furniture because I love my furniture. It's beautiful furniture.
Yeah, you got some nice things.
Right, and also I kept in mind that now y'all seeing like the issues with the ports and manufacturing times, and if you order a couch now, it might take like 6 months, and even a chair, a dining room. So I was like, I don't want to sell everything with the thought that I'll like rebuy everything back in the new city, but then I'd be couchless and bedless and furnitureless for like up to 6 months. So that really kind of was the biggest reason. I was like, I'm just going to keep what I have. And it was very expensive to move. Like, I can't even tell y'all how expensive it is to pack up a whole truck and have it move cross country. And not only that, but it was anxiety inducing to have to figure out which trucking company to go with too, because there's so many. And the reviews are all over the place because you know how Yelp reviews, it's like, it was amazing, the most amazing experience. And then someone else is like, I lost 31 boxes and no one's answering the phone. You know, it's like so many scary stories. And
who do you trust?
Who do you trust? You know, and then
who do you trust?
And then the company that I went with, which I will tell you exactly who they were once all my stuff is here, because
there you go.
Just in case.
Smart cookie. Because,
you know, they'd be like, oh, we lost those, you know, three boxes that we were still owed you. But it was kind of overwhelming, even the way they came to my house, because I paid for them to pack everything up since we were in the middle of working. It just seemed like I could not do everything.
The smart thing to do.
Yeah. So I needed to kind of pay for the convenience of it. But like Dustin said, purging, cleaning, all that is so important because you pay for each box. You pay for the square footage in the truck. So the last mm-hmm. thing you want is to have boxes full of stuff that you don't even really
need. A bunch of bullshit.
Right. Yeah. That's literally taking up space and costing you more square footage of, you know, that could be empty so you won't have to pay, or full of stuff that you actually need. So that's number one. And number two, another
people
advice.
People apply that same rationale when they leave their families, but go ahead.
And number two, number two. Oh man, I lost my train of thought because you made me laugh.
<I'm sorry. laughs>
Oh, here it was. Number two, I don't know what made me think that these men were gonna come into my house like Marie Kondo and just gently fold stuff
Ooh.
And put it into a box and take their time.
Bang, crash, boom, just
Yo,
throwing it in the boxes.
Yo, I tell you, they yeah. were just throwing stuff. I mean, it was mayhem. My heart was racing watching them just throw, like they took a lamp that was on a table and just put it in the box and then threw floor pillows on top of it. And I was like, wait. So my advice is, yes, they're going to pack stuff up, but if you have the time, separate things into sections and in how you want it packed. And if you want mm-hmm. to save space, which is something my partner did that was genius, he bought mm-hmm. those vacuum seal bags.
Mm.
And he put all our clothes in the vacuum seal bags and flattened it so that it took up less space in the boxes. And that cut us down by Lord knows how many boxes. A lot of our books took up the boxes too, you know? So just those are some kind of tips too. Like, because they are just going to throw everything and ram it, I would really suggest if you're someone who gets panicky like me, pack, fold your clothes how you want it. So their job is just to put it in the boxes and then section everything in your apartment exactly how you want it to be packed. If you want all your kitchen utensils to go in this section, make sure it's already out and kind of like organized on the table. Because they were throwing pictures that were on my fridge with the knives. And I mean, it was just so
they
insane.
Don't care.
They don't care.
You have don't nobody care about your stuff like you
like
do,
you
first
do.
Of all.
Yeah. Exactly.
No one. And on top of that, they ready to go. They at work.
Right.
You know
and
what I'm saying?
Have,
so they don't give
like
a damn.
4 hours. They have like a yeah. 4 hour window to literally put your entire apartment in these boxes. So like Dustin said, no one cares about your stuff as much as you do. So one tip that I would really give you is to not think.
Pre-pack.
Right. To not think that because they're packing that they're going to take their time doing so. So I would suggest doing some organization of your mm. own beforehand. And honestly, the trucking industry to me is just a little sketch, because even after they told us how much it was going to cost, once all the boxes were on there, they knew we couldn't measure. We mm-hmm. couldn't measure the square footage. Like, what are we going to do? Go in and try to put a measuring yard in there? Like, it just wasn't going to work.
So, mm-hmm. Fran, just to give you, well, first of all, to piggyback off of what you're saying, because A, you're giving all of the words, right?
Yeah.
Like from the truck to the packing.
I want to know what happened with the square footage too, so don't lose your train of thought.
Sorry. So the boxes, when you get your boxes, sometimes they're size. Like when I got the U-Haul boxes, they were telling me what sizes they were.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can just count like how many like small, medium, or large boxes, and then go on the website and it'll do a calculator for you depending on where you get your boxes from. So that's just a tip I want to add on really quick, and I'll let you finish.
Mm-hmm. That's a good tip, actually. But you know, once your couch is going in and your bed.
Yeah, once you're there.
It's like so much harder to really keep track. And I'm sure there's a way to do it, but I was already really overwhelmed. This is my first time moving like that. Obviously, we were in the middle of still recording Friend Zone and Insecure and the bonus episodes and things that we're doing with Target. So it was just like a lot going on that I couldn't be fully present. But I'm sure mm-hmm. if there's a way for you to be able to calculate the square footage, even if you have to be psycho and go on the truck yourself, figure it out, because they ended up charging us an extra damn near $3,000 because they said that we had more boxes than anticipated. But the scary part of that is, how would we know that? There's no way for us to know, you know? So it was just like, really, we were at their mercy. And that to me was weird, you know? And they give you the same shtick too. Like before you move, they say, oh, we have the lowest rates than anybody else, and be careful because other trucking companies will get you in the back end when your stuff is already on the truck. But they all do that too. So it's almost like they try to reel you in with that, like, we're honest, we have more integrity shtick, And then everyone plays that same game of, oh, they can't really measure. We can tell them they went over, you know, whatever square footage and they owe us $3,000. Because at this point, your stuff's already on the truck. So you're not going to be like, take it all out like after four or 5 hours. You're just going to pay because you just want them to just be on the on their way. So it's really overwhelming and predatory in a lot of ways. And of course, I don't want to make a blanket statement because I can't say the same for every trucking company. Because I know Cheska Lee found one that she literally had no problems with. All her stuff came in 10 days. Mine took a month. And not only did mine take a month, but they left off three boxes and my Peloton and my desk, my outside deck furniture.
Where is it?
Conveniently, at the back in New York, at the warehouse. Somehow it didn't make it onto the truck.
So now all that has to come separately.
And it's going to take another month because now we have to wait for someone that is going to hopefully be coming in this direction. And they told us, oh, it'll be there next week. And then luckily the driver, who was so cool, was like, it's absolutely not going to be here next week because not only do I still have to drop off stuff in California, I still have to drive all the way back to Jersey, get your stuff, and then come back to the West. And he was like, and it may very well be anywhere from 3 weeks to a month. So what we did is we didn't pay them the remaining balance. We just told them we'll pay them the remaining balance when our stuff is fulfilled. Because who are we to know that they'll even care to give us our stuff once they're paid? Like, they could just be like, oh, send it a Peloton. That's what I said. I was like, wow, of all the stuff. And they didn't call us to say, hey, our apologies. Some of the stuff, it was when we noticed it. Because, of course, I'm going to notice my deck furniture missing and my Peloton. And then when we called them, they said, oh, yeah, we have it here. And they sent me a picture of it in the warehouse. So they weren't even going to call me to tell me. So, you know, so it's like things like that that give you so much anxiety. And it's overwhelming because it's out of your control. And you really are at the mercy of just like whichever company you happen to pick, and you base it on the reviews, and all the reviews are good and bad. So you don't really know which one is the one you're going to experience from that percentage of good and that percentage of bad. So those are just some tips for the trucking part. if you go that way.
I can't say what I want to say on this bonus. Shout out to Target. Hey, Target.
Luckily.
Right.
Not luckily, but, you know, when I first moved to Brooklyn a couple years ago, I moved from Harlem with expansion in mind. I was like, you know what? We're expanding. I get more space at the new place. There's going to be expansion. Now, I have expanded since then to here. And from moving from here, from my last place to right here, I remember everything that you're saying. Like, it was me. Like, I was trying my hardest to find a moving company. I was reading reviews. I was trying to pick out, you know, who was being biased because they didn't like the customer service or whatever, and who was being biased because furniture was actually missing or broken or whatever. Like, I was really trying to do my due diligence. So, like, I experienced this a little bit last year when I was quoting, like, how much it would have been to move into the last place. And I was realizing, okay, like, I'm going to have to, you know, take notes, like, or this is going to take some planning. So, like, I had kind of a crash course from that to remember, like, okay, I need to take note of, like, all the big furniture and how many boxes I think I'm going to be packing. So, like, I remember calling, getting a quote. The dude quoted me one price.
Listen.
Sent me all the paperwork
that
and everything.
That should be illegal.
It should be illegal.
Well, okay, so, here's the thing, though, right? So, because that's why I had to cut you off and add the boxes thing right there. He quoted me one price. And so I remember saying, like, he's overestimating, which is fine because that's still a good price. But I wasn't feeling their customer service and all that. So I was like, let me make sure day of, because I was like, you know, so is this a quote that you give me? Is this going to be the final price or day of does the rate change? And he was like, you know, day of the rate does change. We'll be in contact, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to call you right when they show up just so we know is square. People show up. I let them know it's less than what they take in. Like, mind you, I packed everything. I moved everything to like the front to make it convenient. Like, I'm doing and they were supposed to like wrap my mirrors. They were supposed to do all this stuff that they did not do. Mm-mm. So, A, when it came time to charge, because I only paid the deposit at the beginning. And so then they had to clear insurance with my new building, a whole bunch of stuff, right? They packed my stuff. they didn't pack my mirrors. And then I was like, these mirrors are coming. They were like, oh, yeah, you have, oh, you do have two mirrors on here. And I was like, yeah, are y'all going to wrap them? And the guy was like, I think I got a blanket in the back. And then I'm just like, okay, so
I was like,
mentally, I was like, I don't think these mirrors is going to make it. And you know what's crazy? One of them did. So like one of the mirrors did make it. But like when we got to the new place, they did not go to the front and talk to the people in the front. So like they came right to an entrance that they saw and like started like moving the stuff, like super unprofessional. Like, just so they tied unloading. Up an elevator,
right?
Got me in trouble with the building. The dude was like, you know, normally like, you know, like I'm not trying to like big up on you, but like you get fined for this, but like you good. It's your first day. I was like, all right, thank you, bro. Cause like, whoa, fine. What?
I can't stand people like that. If I'm not in danger, don't nothing, say don't be telling me no shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, just
could.
Let me know and we do good. It. You don't gotta tell me that just you're doing do me a solid or nothing. It's like cool, right? Like,
yeah.
So then, while trying to hold the door open, the dude took one of my mirrors off. He's trying to hold the door open
with a mirror, with a glass mirror. He's trying to hold a door open,
and the door like it hit the back of his sneaker, and so then he tried to catch the door while holding the mirror, and it cracked. And I was like, what? How did we? And then he goes and puts it up against this tree and thinks I'm not going to see it. And then, like, the wind blows and knocks it over again. And I was like, so what are you going to do now? Like what are you going to do now? And I'm mad because, you know, they ask you if you want to do the insurance at the front end. And I'm thinking, like, I done read these reviews. I done packed this stuff myself. Like, I ain't going to need no
famous
insurance.
Last words.
They're going to wrap this stuff. Like, I done asked to do the questions. Like, I done made a list for them. I'm thinking I've done all my due diligence. And I did not.
And literally, the wind blew.
And the wind blew. And that's all she wrote.
Wow. So basically, the takeaway from this section of the conversation is, even if you hire movers and or packers, you still got to pack your stuff yourself.
Please,
you have to.
You definitely have to pack your stuff yourself.
Mm-hmm. Protect your things. Prepare your things for transit, for travel. Because again, no one cares about your stuff the way that you do. So when you hire these moving companies that offer you the world, you know, pots of gold at the end of the rainbow, you still got to get you some bubble wrap,
yep,
some styrofoam, whatever, for the corners, tape and wrap your things.
Just in
mind
case.
You, I had some.
Yep, it's true. Because we definitely bought bubble wrap just in case, because they were wrapping a lot of our glassware and stuff with paper and newspaper and then putting tape around it. And I was telling the guy, how is that going to protect the glass part? And he was like, listen, I've been doing this for many years. And that's the other thing too. Don't be afraid to speak up, because they were wrapping a lot of my stuff with the tape raw. And anyone that knows, that leaves residue. Like, mm-hmm. They wrapped something from my desk, and my desk is like really nice wood, you know.
Oh,
like,
no.
You can't do that raw with the tape. You got to put the packing mm-hmm. blankets over first,
right?
And mm-hmm. then wrap the tape, so the packing blankets, they're much easier to pull the tape off of, and they don't leave residue. That's the point of a blanket. So don't be afraid, even if they hit you with the, oh, I've been doing this a long time. That's fine, sir, I'm sure you have, but this is
but
going
you only
to
got
do
one time to break my
exactly because they wrapped my Peloton that way, and And unfortunately, I caught it kind of late, so it was full of that brown tape all over. So I know when I get it and I start unwrapping it, it's going to have that residue that's really hard to get off. Like, you can get a damp blanket and get most of it, but you know it's never going to be the same. Like, it's just going to have that all over. So things like that, you know, mirrors, things, like, don't be afraid to speak up. I know that this is their job and it is something that they do, but at the end of the day, this is your stuff. You know,
there you go,
I think
definitely planning, like, as much at the farthest ahead that you can get from moving, like, you need to start looking
talking a year out.
Like literally start looking at furniture. You don't even got to buy it. You just need to know how much things cost, how long they take, like windows. You just mm-hmm. need to be aware of all of these things at some point. So, like, literally, manifestation is real. So manifest your dream apartment in the year that you planning on moving, but like, you know, there's a timeline that you just really have to work on getting a footing of. And I just haven't fully gotten it yet. I feel like I'm almost there. I don't want to be a master at it, but I really think that planning will help you in some sort of way, because even though my moving experience wasn't the best, I was still able to, like Fran said, I was able to go through a lot of my stuff and purge. Cause I remember being like, all right, well, there's some things that don't have to come. And I came here and then I was able to get some new stuff. And I was like, well, thank God I didn't bring X, Y, and Z. Cause now, you know, I wouldn't have room for all of this. So definitely plan as much as you can. If you can, word of mouth, I would say. I don't know if that works well, but like, I felt like I just needed to start asking people that moved. Like, I was like, you know what? I need to just, whenever I move next, I'm going to ask whoever moved. Because the last time when I first moved to Brooklyn, actually, Jay recommended my movers and everything was all good in the hood.
Like, Terrence, was it Terrence?
Yep.
I love Terrence.
It sure was.
He moved me from Harlem to Brooklyn. So I Harlem love him. To Shout Brooklyn. Out to Terrence.
Shoot. Right.
With his van.
I wish he moved cross country. I'm going to tell you something else too.
Me too.
When you start getting your numbers together and thinking about the money and the resources you're going to need, whatever number you come up with, double it.
Real. Yes.
For real.
It's so
make
true.
Make your number and then start early. Start saving early enough so that you can double whatever that figure is that you had in your head, so that you have money on hand and got to find it to do things as these prices become more and more exorbitant and increased more and inflated more as you move along. Yep. So if you think you need about $10,000 to move, start a little earlier and try to save 20.
That's what you need to do. Let me tell you, because you, and there's so many extra costs that you forget about, you know, like, especially things like that, where the trucker was like, you owe $3,000 more. What would have happened if that we had just saved just enough for what they originally quoted us? We would have been asked out with a truck full of our stuff. So
I told y'all a couple weeks ago what I would have had to do to get the money. So you're right. You know what I mean?
So now that we have talked about preparing and deciding what to take and then deciding how to take it, here's another question I have for y'all. How did y'all find the place you were moving to? Did you move? Did you like visit the new city and find it? Did you just do it online? Was it like a referral? Did a friend have to go see it for you? How did y'all pick your new apartment?
My sister lived here. She's not here because I ain't even in New York right now. But my sister lived in New York and she was able to help me get my situation together.
That's bomb.
Before I came. Amen. Here. Yeah. So gave me the best start ever, you know what I mean? And just really helped me figure some things out. So that was a blessing, but everybody's not gonna have that.
Right.
So
we didn't.
Moving away from what's familiar and from what you come from, that's a big boy, big girl, big person thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's a large undertaking.
Especially when you're young. You were young doing it.
Yeah, you gotta be brave and, you know, put your big boy undies on and do what you gotta do. So it's best if you can take on the move and execute it without a safety net of someone already there to leave on. You know, I was blessed and lucky. God don't play about me. And so I was able to have that. You know what I mean? But everybody's not going to have that. So just, you know, be brave with it.
Yeah.
Just move. Everything's new. Don't be afraid of the newness of figuring out the logistics of your move.
I love that. What about you, Asante? How did you find your new place?
That was actually what I leaned into. Like, just the wonder of experiencing something new. Like, I know it was probably like super terrifying for a lot of people, but when I was in high school, came to visit New York on like two trips. They were like theater trips. We'd go like see shows, take the train, go see like little monuments. Like, I remember it was like the first time I got to see Rockefeller Center and Radio City Hall. I'm like, oh wow, the lights. And it was just such a ridiculous time. So then after that in high school, after high school, I came back to visit because this woman I used to work at Old Navy with, excuse me, at my old job, she lived in New York. She moved back to New York. She was like, you know, I moved back to New York. You know, you gotta come visit. And I was on the air train. I was like, yo, like, I can get this cheap ticket, standby. So I would come visit her. And I was like, you know, there's just something about New York that like I just can't stop coming up here. So, you know, I gotta make a move. And I made that move. And when it was time to move to New York, actually, I met XD online on the interwebs,
oh my God,
really cool.
So cute.
And we were both just like, Because he was living upstate at the time, or Connecticut maybe. And he was like, I'm going to move back to the city. And I was like, I want to move to the city. He was like, we should move to the city. And I was like, let's go. Like, sweetie, let's go.
Let's go.
So he had a friend that already had a place. And he was like, you know, I'm going to move, you know, this month. And I was like, well, shoot, you know, I'm going to move now then. And I'm going to stay at the place you're going to stay at. And I'm going to just be out by the time you get there. So it was like really just throwing caution to the wind and trying to make something work, which is why when people ask me how to do certain things, I'm like, listen, it's like an adrenaline rush that you got to, I can't teach you or tell you the steps, because it's really just being able to be present and say like, I'm going to work this out. And that's what I did. I was like, you know, I'm going to stay in this dwelling. And then once I get from that dwelling to the next dwelling, like, I'm going to make a way, because New York City is just there. I can't stop thinking of a musical in my head, and I don't want to say it out loud, but there was just something about New York City that made me want to be here. And I just could not, every day that I like got on the train and was uncomfortable about anything or hated going to work, I still said, this is where I want to be. Like, I literally relocated to this place. So the drive to stay here is real. Like, the passion is real.
Oh, so wait, friend. So you crashed somewhere first before deciding where to move to?
I crashed somewhere, and then I like looked up room rentals. Oh my God.
Okay, that
this
makes
is
sense.
So funny, because I remember when XD went with me to the room rental place. Because since we're talking about things that you got to be aware of, right? Be aware when you're renting rooms. Like, some of those are scams as well. It's not something that I feel like is it's not something that's like vetted properly, because it's not something that's really supposed to be happening in certain buildings, but it happens. And New York City don't do a whole lot about it all the time, I should say. So I went to this agency about renting a room. This agency, ooh, I couldn't tell if they were fraudulent or not.
That's the hard
and
part.
I just remember.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, I just remember it. Especially in New York. And I just got here. So that's why, you know, XD had to come. You know, I was like, you know, this is my New York friend. And so the minute I asked this man something, I was like, you know, so how do you find these places? Like, I guess he thought that I was trying to like steal his directory. And he was like, you don't ask me how I find these places, and started going off on me. And I'm like, well, maybe I should not go here. Like, and then XD was just like, oh, he's getting mad for somebody that's doing something that's legal, right? And I was just like, yeah, we gotta go. Like, and I didn't go with this place, but I went to another place. And it was crazy, because the next place that I went to, the guy working there, he was super cool. He owned it. He was like Afro-Latino. He was like, you know, I've got some spots. Some of them might not be for you, but I got this 2-week program. You can literally look at as many places as you want for up to 2 weeks. And then once you find a place that you like, if you don't like it in the next 2 weeks, you could come back and I'll find you another place. And I was like, all right,
so that's
well, cool.
Cool.
So you pay him a fee up front. So that's why he makes it sweet, because, you know, you don't want to pay somebody and then you just ain't going to be nowhere. So he lets you look at all these places. And after looking at a lot of places, I found a small dwelling that I called home for about 9 months before I got bed bugs, and then
a baby,
which I did not realize was a real New York thing. I didn't realize it was a real thing until New York. That was crazy. And then after that 9 months, the next room that I rented, I was in for like 8 or 9 years. Like, it was like, all right, perfect location, perfect quiet,
neighbors.
Perfect neighbors, perfect ambiance on the sidewalk, like perfect deli across the street, RIP Majestic.
With a perfect staff. Shout out to the Majestic,
yes.
Deli.
Yes.
And the scams part you mentioned was so real, because I was actually listening to Jaden XD, and he was sharing how he had found, he was looking at a place like years ago when he first came to, and he had found something, I think, on Craigslist, which is another tricky place because there might really be apartments there, but you don't know if it's an apartment.
Okay.
You got to take your chance.
The fake listings.
Okay. And he said that he called them and it was like this perfect apartment in the city, and the price was like so low. But the catch was that the people traveled and just needed the right to come back sometimes. Next he was like, what, like, come back, like, you just crash in the room with me, like, what do you mean?
Like,
I don't care what Janet Jackson said, don't come back to me.
So you'll hear a lot of funny stories and also really scary stories too. Like I know Shannon, our good friend Shan Booty, shared a story once of a listing she had found, and she sent in all the paperwork and it seemed legit. And then when it came to the day for her to move in, she got there and nobody was there. The number she called to be like, hey, I'm here. Like, what's going on? It was no longer in service. And wow. She realized even when she tried to email, it bounced back. Like, it was just all these things happening. And she realized that she had gotten scammed out of like $7,000, which was like the deposit for the first month's rent and the, you know, security deposit. And so
how can you do that to a person?
Like, I mean, how could you just do it's that just to a really person? Insane. So it's similar to the trucking thing. It's like you're at the mercy of a lot of different people, which can make it scary. But then you have cool situations like mine where I had been prepping for a year, just looking on Zillow and all those apartment apps and just kind of getting an idea of neighborhoods. You know, I flew to Portland 3 times throughout the year just so that I can actually visualize the neighborhoods and see them and see like, okay, I like this one. I didn't like this one. And just went on around seeing different houses. Do I want to live in a building? Do I want to live, you know, by the mountains? Do I want to live close to the city? And was able to narrow it down to a couple neighborhoods and then put those in to the apartment and housing apps so that it would aggregate more of exactly what I was looking for. And then I found one, and it was very millennial of us because I really got it sight unseen. I never saw the house I moved into. I literally saw it on the app. He did a virtual tour and took me around the house on FaceTime. And I just had to pray, you know, that he was not going to run away with my deposit and that this lease was legit. And, you know, luckily we had like 2 or 3 friends that lived here that were able to kind of drive by and everything seemed legit. And
threaten the agent.
And, you know, do your research too. Like I Googled the company, made sure it existed, you know, even looked on their Facebook page to see if there was any engagement with prior tenants. You know, you got to do your due diligence. Look for their Twitter. What are they tweeting about? Is this like a Nikki person? Said, I looked up the actual agent and Googled him and checked to see if he had any socials and like literally just was like obsessively looking at everything that had to do.
Checks.
Background checks, you name it. And so I, you know, pulled the trigger and it all worked out beautifully. The guy's actually really The guy actually
you
turned out to be right with the Dustin gun. And I like he turned out to be a dream, just a really nice guy. It's a small That's business. Good. It's just him and his partner, and they only do like 5 listings, you know, like so it's very small. So you get customized attention. Even with things once I moved in, you know, you move into a new house, there's certain things that they're gonna miss. And I told him about it and they came and fixed it immediately. So everything has just been really smooth and the house is beautiful. It's actually even nicer than I thought it was on the virtual tour and in the apps. So it actually worked out beautifully. And so that's what I'm saying. Like you just never know. Like even though I had a hard time with the trucking, everything with the house and the apps worked out seamlessly for me and even better than anticipated. And so that's the thing with moving. You're just like, you're going to get some good things. You can get some bad things. And just kind of how it goes.
I'm glad.
Right.
I'm glad the virtual tour part worked out for you because the last place that I was in, I think my roommate looked at Mike's roommate looked at the place. And then I did like the virtual tour and we was on a time crunch. So I was kind of like, all right,
right.
Fine.
Always on a time crunch. That's what gets us.
And God, I was. Because, baby, I will never forget living next to that park and that train and, like, packages. I just remember thinking to myself, I know better than this to have just, like, blindly moved into this place because I had to do, like, a virtual tour. But and so in moving to this place, I remember tediously looking through like pictures, YouTube videos, finding floor plans, going on like going to tour places. Like I was doing all of that before I moved because I was like, this ain't going to be a repeat of last time.
And you know what's another tip? Google Maps.
Google Maps.
Put in the address of the home and look at the neighborhood, especially if you're not familiar with the city. Look around. Remember that house I told y'all? And when I looked in Google Maps, it showed that it was across from a cemetery. I wouldn't have known that if I didn't put that in. I would have literally gotten the house and then learned that as I moved in. Not that there's anything wrong with a cemetery. When I tweeted about it, a lot of people were like, that sounds great. You got quiet neighbors.
Now what if that picture was from 2010 and now there's like a strip mall there? Then you're going to have more questions. I'm like, did they build this on top of the cemetery?
I heard of things dying down at a certain time of day. But I know it was literal interpretation.
To each their own. But for me, I knew that I wasn't quite comfortable with living directly across, like where I'm waking up in the morning, opening up my window and it's tombstones. Like that, just something about that. I was like, I don't know. So, but that's why you should use things like the apps if you cannot visit the city before moving, and literally go through all the streets around it. Google to see if there's supermarkets nearby, transportation, things that you'll need, day-to-day things, markets. For me, I literally went around the whole neighborhood and just checked out to see what it looks like. And I saw, this is a really quiet, suburban, peaceful neighborhood. All I saw was a lot of houses, one cute little strip where there was food and things, post office, all the little things that you'll need, practical things, hospitals, whatever the case may
be, corner
stores, mm-hmm. So little parks,
check cashing.
Mm-hmm. UPS stores, for UPS your PO stores. Boxes, all of the things.
Beauty supply,
yes. Target, mm-hmm. like you name it. Hey, Target. Mm-hmm. So obviously do your research, and the beauty is that we do have access to the internet and all these apps that can literally help you out so much.
Yes, we
so
do.
That's one of my tips.
And Google those local police departments, Google the local news for the areas and the neighborhoods and see what comes up so you can get a good gauge and sense of what the temperament and tone of the area is.
That's
These are all really important things.
And even on facts. Twitter too, I actually, I tweeted the neighborhood on Twitter. I wrote in the browser the neighborhood, the name of the neighborhood and even the street, and saw what tweets came up about it. And
that's a good one.
And it was really cool because it was casually people being like, oh, I live in such and such neighborhood and it's so blah, blah, blah. And just their daily conversations just about what was going on. Even the police reports pop up of like what's going on in that neighborhood as far as crime or not. Like
Fireman
really just Twitter surprisingly was actually really helpful. Yeah, exactly. Or like the Citizens app where you can like put in your neighborhood, but I don't know if you want to read that because it might make you not want to live anywhere.
Have you
it's
opened
so
the Citizens app out there? Does it work out there?
No.
I can't sleep.
I don't even want to try, to be honest.
Good.
But those are tips for finding a place, which is pretty cool because we had three completely different experiences. I did Sight Unseen. Asante just went and was led by faith and crashed somewhere, and then Dustin had someone that luckily could kind of survey the land for him before he got there. So once you got to the city that you moved into, how did it match up your expectations? And I'm curious too, what made you pick the cities? Like, why did y'all pick New York? I know Asante shared a little bit of the magic of it, but what was the thing that finally made you decide, like, this is it, I'm moving to New York and I'm moving now?
I wanted to make a pivot in my career. I was working at the time in labor relations, and I did not want to do that no more. So I wanted to do something creative. And New York was a hub of all things creative. Mm. And I was like, this is where I need to be. A lot of people, because I wanted to act at the time, which I still do, but I wanted to act at the time, and a lot of people were encouraging me to consider Los Angeles,
right?
New York. It was something about the accessibility in New York, with the trains and with New York just felt like it was a smarter choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being, it was actually the best move I ever made.
Oh, so I love that.
Did it live up to my expectations? Absolutely. And it exceeded them, because there was a lot of, while I knew that I was going to make some changes in my career, there was a lot of personal growth and personal development that took place when I moved to New York, just from all the new experiences and the new kinds of people that I was encountering and the new situations that I would find myself in, that would kind of push my limits and my personal boundaries of judgment or lack of judgment, or you know, just it really made me ask myself a lot of questions fundamentally. And I'm so, so grateful for that part of the process, because it's just so funny how things go together eventually in the end. That personal growth and personal development ended up lending itself to career opportunities, yep, and growth, you know, exponentially. And so that was what was most special about moving to New York for me. You know what I mean? It was a move, and then it was a moving on.
Come on.
So,
were you sad the first couple weeks? Did it take any adjustment of like, man, I'm not in Detroit?
Uh-huh.
No, you felt good. Mm-mm. Like, this is it.
Peace out. And I was too busy looking around. You know, you can tell when somebody first moved to New York, because they just be looking. They be looking around.
So that's what
I was doing. I was too busy taking all the newness in and really finding my way and finding my footing. And if this is something that would be specific to people with that experience of moving to New York, but when you think back to when you first moved to New York and then you look at yourself 10 years later or however many years later it's been for you, you really, the path that it took for you to figure out kind of where your space in New York is, like who your people are, what places you like to hang out, you know, what things you want to have access to. It's just so weird how you had to go this way, to go this way,
right,
to go this way,
right,
to end up finding your groove. And it's just a really, really cool place to move. So that was my New York, you know, takeaway.
I love it. What about you, Asante? What made you decide on New York, and what made you decide at the time that you did it?
Well, like I said, as you said, the magic. I really had to leave everything that I knew, because I felt like the South was so rewarding. I was like, you know, there's so much talent here. There's so much, like, you know, because everybody making music was out there. Obviously, TV has continued to grow exponentially since I've been gone. But, like, I just remember Atlanta booming. But I thought to myself, even though ATL's on this boom, I still, because I am young, like, I have to feel whatever it is about New York that I was feeling when I visited. And so from that, I have to move up there. I have to, you know, really stretch myself, because I was really into music. You know, I wanted to be an A&R, and honestly, I would still love to work for a label or own a label. Shit, excuse me. I really just love, I've always had such a passion for artists and their art and everything that goes into making a record, or even just the vibing. Like, I like watching all of that. So New York, because the pulse was so musical to me, from the people playing music on the trains or beating down the block in Times Square or Union Square Park or wherever. I just remember New York being alive and thinking to myself, like, okay, I'm in this crazy place that's like, it's not like where I'm from. So, like, what am I doing here? And I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm adding to this melting pot, because New York is a place where everybody is somebody and they're not trying to be. Like, everybody's just trying to be themselves. Everybody's just trying to make it. So, like, to Dustin, like, it's for me, it's the New York for me. Like, I can't talk about, like, relocating anywhere else, but, like, New York, the part that really solidified me being here, though, is the struggles. Like, every time I've struggled in New York, there's been like some sort of like dance of some sort that happens, like, cause it's almost like you're feeling that pressure build. And so it's like, are you going to explode or are you going to release? Like, how are you going to, you know, how are you going to make it to the next level? Like, are you going to fold? And it's like New York, when it's like, you don't fold, you find some way to like make peace with your situation or get through it or whatever. It's like New York rewards you. Like, I can't even speak to it. It's just magical. Like, New York just has this, it just has its way. Like, I've been down and out, but oh boy, when New York holds me up, I just feel up. And I feel that way when I go home to visit Atlanta. Like, I'm like, oh, this is Atlanta, like my home, like I'm home. But then I'm ready to go back to New York, my other home where I've been for so long, and I've been part of that pulse.
And you decided it because it was, you just felt like it was just that time. You were like, it's time to move.
It was just that time. Like, yeah. Atlanta was really running its course for me. Like, I was.
It was after college for you, right? Like, right after?
It was in the middle of college.
In the middle. Then, okay. Gotcha.
So I did a couple years, and then I was like, I'm not really trying to do this no more. Felt. I have to get out of this city. I have to stretch myself and really mm-hmm. say, like, I can be an adult and prioritize and grow and not, like, feel stifled and stunted. Because I feel like in the South, maybe because I had family, I felt like I was, I don't know, I felt like I was stunted and somehow. Like, maybe because people in the South are so judgmental. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I can't be here. Like, I used to listen to the radio and they would talk about little random things. And I'd be like, I can't listen to this. I can't be here no more. Like, I have to go somewhere else. And I remember New York being the market where it was like, okay, like, now I get to go to the legendary SOBs. Like, you know, like yeah. I get to experience what this era is here. And, like, it's part of a culture. And, like, I felt so strongly about that part of it. Like, I just had to make that move. Even though I was 21, it's like, I don't know if I could just, I just knew New York was next or what. Because Atlanta still is Atlanta. But, like, I can't regret anything that I've done since I've been in New York or any of the things that I've been a part of or witnessed or, you know.
It's a great place.
Been here for the era of. Yeah.
Seattle, opposite. Obviously, I'm coming from someone damn near being in New York for 40 years, you know, with little bits and pieces in other cities. But for the most part, this has been home base and born and raised in Harlem and moved to Brooklyn in my 30s. And I love New York. Like, y'all's everything y'all described, it is magical. It is alive. You end up having the most random days where you just wake up, don't have anything planned, and somehow ends up being one of the best days of your life because you just bump into the coolest people that you had never seen, never met, just being at the right place at the right time. It's just one of those cities, and you end up having so many nights like that, and it's just like nothing compares. And I... Funny enough...
But...
Right. Funny enough, I kept thinking, like, if I do have kids... You know, I'm sad that they wouldn't grow up in New York because I think anyone that doesn't experience it is lame. No shame, but New York is just that place to me. And I'll just be like, man, my kids are low-key going to miss out, you know. But it is what it is because I have it in me. You know, like, I still represent that and they'll still have that piece. And New York was amazing, but the pace of it was perfect for growing up. You know, it made me sharp. Obviously, I have a different kind of street smart and navigation skills. I can literally make it anywhere, any country. You know, I'm a hustler because of it, but it's also that energy that you kind of want to lay down after a while. You know, like, it's a lot of surviving, hustling, grinding. It's that, like, energy, battery in your back. Like, that's just what we do in New York. And then there comes a time when you're like, okay, I just very waiting to exhale. You know, like, when when can I just, like, not do that? And I want to breathe and I want to wake up and see trees and plants and there's literally nothing, because that too, you know, there's not a building in front of me where I'm looking at the back of bricks. Like, I needed a tree. I needed to be able to go for a walk without people yelling at me about what my butt looks like. I needed to be able to, you know, be 10 minutes away from a mountain where if I needed some oxygen, some air, some movement for my body, I could do that. And it just was like a new pace that I felt like it was time for, something more natural, something more nature-based, and something that my nervous system could ease into, because New York will have you on 10 every day, and it's helpful, especially when you're in the era of your life where you're trying to build something. You know, you need to be on 10. You need to be on heightened alert, and it's energy that is in alignment with building. But then there comes a time where you're like, I am very proud of what I've built. I'm very proud of who I've become. I want to enjoy it. And it doesn't mean that I'm like retired, because obviously you can still build even with this easeful energy, but it's a different kind of building. You know, this is more of an internal mental health, human development building from the inside out, whereas New York is from the outside in. Like, you're externally getting it.
True.
And now I'm internally getting it. And so that's kind of like what this era of my life is feeling into, shifting into my 40s. And so that's why I made the switch from East Coast to West Coast. And even the weather, like, it's just, you know, chiller. There's no harsh winters. There's no harsh snow. Like, I don't have to deal with that no more. I don't have to take the train. Like, I can actually get a little car here because I can drive, because ain't no cab going to cut me off and start honking at me, calling me all kinds of names because I can't drive well.
Me and Asante know about being called names by cab drivers, but I appreciate that for you, Fran. And I think your experience is one that's pretty unique and thus noteworthy, right? Mm-hmm. Because you moved at a time where preparedness was on your side,
yes.
Right? Like, you had resources available.
Amen.
You were mature, you know what I mean, in your strategy, yep, of moving and all of those things. So that's a pretty different moving experience, mm-hmm, that people don't, because we always tell these struggle stories, or we always tell, like, how I had to come here and, you know, figure it out or whatever. And that has been a very exciting part of the process. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there is something to be said for the easefulness of saying, hey, I was able to actually sit back, plan. Yes, I ran into some unforeseen occurrences.
Right.
But I was able to plan and thus execute this move efficiently. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A lot of times, even when people move in their 30s, it's usually based on necessity.
Right,
like,
circumstance.
I had my job move me here,
right,
or whatever.
But this was like an intentional choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a blessing. Yeah, and it's a blessing, like you said, to have the resources to do that, because I also understand that that's not everybody's situation, and I'm very thankful that I was able to do that, mm-hmm, especially once you calculate how much that move costs. Let me tell you, yeah, this is someone's
that's
salary.
That's when you start feeling all right about it. That's when all that grateful and gratitude, I'm beginning, okay, to complain, because I'm thinking about the money I spent. You know what I'm saying? I earned this complaint.
Talk about, so, yeah, new month, new blessings. You know, I'm very, very thankful. And like you said, to look back, I was sitting on the porch the other day, you know, with my persimmon tree and watching a squirrel steal, mm-hmm, them, because they're thieves out here, these little squirrels. And no, I'm kidding. It's their tree. It's all good. But I was sitting on the porch and I was like, man, this is crazy how you can really just make these choices, these decisions that are so life altering. Like, for me to have just been in Flatbush, you know, waiting on the 2 train, and then a month later, I'm sitting on a porch, like, sweeping off leaves in a completely different city. It's just a wow, you know, like, whoa.
The juxtaposition of all of that.
It is,
right?
Just fascinating.
You're making me think. You're making me think of all the kids that I met when I was younger that moved from New York, and how they were like, y'all got trees and stuff down here. And
it
I would think
so
to myself,
exciting,
like, and this is before I had visited. I remember thinking to myself, like, yeah, but we got, like, you know, roads and stuff. It's not like where you're at now. So, like, where you're, yeah, at, it's like completely different. So, like, to go from that to Atlanta was one thing, but, like, to go from that to where you're at, baby, I know you are just soaking it all up.
And it's,
like,
very grass is greener too, you know, because I'm sure people that grew up like this, like, you guys grew up closer to this lifestyle where you guys had houses, yeah, you had your cars, you had, you know, cute neighborhoods, nice everything. And right, so spaces. For you, it was like, I'm looking for something different. I'm looking for more energy. I'm looking for more community. You know, I'm looking for more social aspect. Right. Whereas for me, I'm looking for the softness. I'm looking for the slowdown. And it's like, I think you're always going to look for what you didn't have. So it made me laugh.
Pull,
even the project manager, the house manager of this house, like, he was like, it's so funny seeing you so excited because you have a linen closet. I have a driveway and a garage and a porch. And he was like, it's awesome to be able to experience this with you. Like, he was so into it because he was like, you're so thankful. And he said anyone else that he would have rented this out to would have just been like, cool, how many bedrooms? All right, cool, porch, da 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 da. And it's just like what it is, because they're used to this. This is their life. But he's like, seeing your eyes, like, you're just like, look how big
bright
this room
eyes.
Is.
Yes.
look, you should be like, I'll show you some places in New York that'll make you understand why, sir.
Let me tell you, there's some people that have a fucking fridge in the tub. Like, I mean, I'm coming from different
things. Even now, though, friend, I can tell you started nesting. I'm not trying to blow your spot up, but, like, mm-hmm. we can see your background. So, like, I see how you have your plants, all your things on the shelf, your bins you for your see? Things. Like, there's just a place for your space, things, girl.
Space. Yeah. Like, it really let me know, like, as magical as New York is, we really do live on top of each other, and you sacrifice space for the social for aspect, sure. you know, like you, for I sure. didn't even, you know, in my last apartment that it was so beautiful, it didn't have closets. As beautiful as it was, it did not have closets, which was insane to think about. And so now this house has so many. I have a walk-in closet. I was organizing my sneakers and my hoodies and my t-shirts. And I was like, I have a whole rack that just my t-shirts can go on. Like, what? But this is, you know, this is not new to y'all. Like, so that's what I'm saying. I think it's funny how we come from different circumstances and will in turn look for different things as we get older and shift into more of who we are and what we need. And so I love that we have these perspectives because they're just so different for all of us.
And this is where the blend between like this is where the personal changes took place for me, right? Like, because there was a huge lifestyle change moving to New York City, coming huge. From Michigan, right? Coming from all those closets and all of those, you know what I'm saying?
A
all
dining the room and a living room and a kitchen.
Yeah. Like. So being forced to have to learn, like relearn how to live with less, mm-hmm. how to live without certain conveniences, it changes who you are fundamentally.
Absolutely.
And so that is where it just, that's one of the, even though it's really crappy at times, you know, I don't have time to put away all of my things that I love to go to Target and buy. But, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the way that, like the wherewithal that it taught me and the, you know, the just, it just makes you a little bit more thorough.
And you're homeless too. You're home, not homeless, homeless.
Well, I'm not homeless. Wait a minute, friend. I'm not. I got
some. That's why you at the hotel.
Being in New York, you're not home as much. You know what I mean?
New Yorkers
treat
sure.
their home like a place to rest their head because they're not home like that. And so this is a very different yeah. experience. People here be home, okay? So home. They need the space. They're in the suburbs. They much to do and go. But in New York,
child, people here be
you
home
just need your
need
closet to be... Well, I mean, now mm-hmm. things are a little different. No. We've been home, but... But here's my last question, and then we can close this conversation out because I think it's literally been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your new cities. How did you make friends? That's the biggest question everyone gets, especially as you're older. How do you make friends when you're older? How do you do that? Where did you start?
I threw myself into, remember, I'll make this quick because mm-hmm. I'm ready to go. But I threw myself. I was just playing. I love being here talking with Target. I threw myself into my career pursuits, and fortunately, I met a bunch of cool people like you guys along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I carried some of those relationships beyond whatever the experience, the shared experience that we had, into each other's personal lives. You know, we really became friends, and lifelong friends at that. So that's just how I did it. I don't think there's any rule or rubric to follow when it comes to making friends as an adult late in life. To be honest with you, it's a heck of a lot easier making friends as an adult because you don't feel bad about opting out at will. Like, you could be like, nope, didn't like what you showed me. Peace out. We are no longer communicating.
Right.
You know, and whereas when you're younger, you kind of mull over those decisions internally a little bit more. And New York, it was very easy to find friends because New York is such a social, interactive
place. So easy. The train, you end up in conversation in the elevator. Ooh. I mean, it's so easy. Lounges, bars.
You can find friends and you can find special friends.
Yes. What about you, Asante? How'd you make friends once you got to New York?
Well, on top of, like Dustin said, New York being interactive, I've always been annoying. I've always just talked to people, or I've always had this look on my face that welcomes people to talk to me and tell me random things. Like,
absolutely.
I've just always had this demeanor about me. So from being at work and the girl that I think that I hate talking to me too and telling me too much of her business, and then inviting me.
That took you back, didn't it? Easter egg for friends on listeners that have been for a while.
Oh my God. I'm so upset. So to go from talking to people at work and then decide, you know, like, oh, you know, this is going to be somebody I'm going to be hanging out with, or being in like random places and talking to people about nothing and then decide, you know what, we going to be cool. Like New York has just always been a place where some stranger has like happened upon me and we've just, and like, we have just made some sort of pact that we're going to be cool for whatever the time period is. Like I've literally met people like in restaurants, like at bars, like just random places and
the street. Like on even the train, just walking down the street, you'll start
walking
talking.
down the street. New York. I love New York. I just can't say any, like, even though New York has done some, or I've been in some bad places since I've been here. Child. There have been so many beautiful things that have happened in this city. Like I'm so glad that this is the place that I relocated to, because that was one thing I remember thinking about in the beginning. Like, wow, what if I move here? And not only do I fail, but like, I just am turned off, or I just feel like I can never go back there and show my face. I don't know. I just had fears of failing and not wanting to do anything ever again and be stunted. So I'm glad that I came here. I literally saw and I have conquered, but I know that there is so much more to conquer.
It's the climb.
Well, I ain't there yet as far as making friends, because I've only been here for 2 weeks. But I will say what I'm learning, because I am such a homebody and I'm not like, I'm not socially awkward. So it's not like I don't know how to move in a room. Like, I'm very easy to chill with and talk to and meet people, but I'm an introvert who isn't going to put herself out there either. So it's going to be interesting to see how I'm going to make these connections, especially living in a city like this, that it isn't New York, where there are not a million people walking down the street.
You don't need no more friends.
I mean, I feel that way too, but I need to know somebody.
No, I feel like you're straight. We can come out there. You're straight.
But here's what's cool.
When you meet that somebody, you're going to know. Like, you're going to be like.
And it's true, because I've even like, okay, so Crystal had come to Portland a couple years back, part of this organization that brings.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? And it's part of this organization of Black women who bring Black women to places that they don't think Black people are at. And then they curate experiences. And it's genius, honestly. And I think it's a way to open Black people's minds to where else they can live in the country. So genius. So the girl that she met on that program lives in Portland. And so when she saw that I moved here and she saw my post on IG and heard me talking about it on the podcast, she contacted me and said, I would love to take you out to dinner with me and my girls.
Wonderful. Yes. That's wonderful.
And so I had that little ping in my body, like, oh my God, kind of like the new kid in high school that walks through the cafeteria and everyone already knows each other.
Am I going to be cool enough?
That feeling.
And you can fight though, friend.
Huh?
You can fight, so you be all right.
No, you didn't, and I can fight.
You're all right.
Always.
She can handle herself. Light on her feet. Shout out to Shy Santiago. He'd be like, I'm light on my feet.
But honestly, it was cool that she reached out and is offering that. And I'm definitely going to link up with her and her girls and just vibe it out. Good. And, you know, it's Black women. And Black women are always going to be cool. I'm always going to be drawn to finding where we're at and connecting and creating that community. You know, the cool thing is that the Nike headquarters are here. So there's like a lot of people who relocated for work that are from the major cities. And we've been bumping into them randomly. My partner's really social. He'll talk to water. He'll talk to a bee. He'll talk to anybody. And so it's not hard when you are with someone like him who is just like really energetic.
That's a good balance for you.
It's perfect.
That's a good balance for you. Yeah.
We were walking down the street the other day and this Asian woman was like, hey, and she says his name. And I was so confused. And he was like, yo, what's up? And they hugged. I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, we met. I was doing a refugee thing event and I saw him and I was like, oh, of course. So he's gonna help me a lot in that aspect, because he is that person and his energy will always attract people, and then I can sort through them and see who I like. But for the most part, I know it's going to take me a little bit more time, but I am looking forward to the process of it and then, you know, sharing on the friend zone. How do you make friends when you're 40 in a new city? So that could be a pin that we share maybe a year from today.
It's going to be a 3-episode arc of each one of our perspectives. And you know I'm going in on my week.
And those of you listening, we'd love to hear your feedback on all of this. How did you decide the city you moved to? What company did you pick? Did you just pick up and take what was on your back? How did you make new friends? How did you find your new home? We want to hear it.
How close to the Target do you live?
How close to the Target and how many days a week do you find yourself in there? Because I have been every day. Do you see these baskets up here in the top? All Target.
Yes. You love it.
All Target. So look at Sante. He's four of them. Okay. My little storage. So
she got the room, y'all.
Okay.
She got the room.
I'm getting
for
it together. So this is our episode in partnership with Target where we discussed relocation. Like we mentioned earlier, make sure and check out our other two episodes on Afropunk Reimagined and our college experiences. We hope you enjoyed it. Any last things you guys want to say before we get out of here?
Bye.
Relocation. Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.